ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడీమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విదిన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet. As I always say, I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and welcome once again to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. Today is August 2nd, 2018, the first Thursday of this month, and as promised, on the first Thursday of last month, we are going to continue the story of the Vrindavan campus. Recently, we had a lively celebration in Prashantinilayam to commemorate 50 years of the commencement of the Anandpur campus, which Bhagwan started in July 1968. And as many of you know, Bhagwan started the college for men just a year after that, in 1969, June 9th, 1969 to be precise. So the next year, this campus is going to celebrate its golden jubilee celebration. So, but the observance of this event has already begun in a way on Radio Sai, because 2 months ago we started this series on Outside Inside Deep Inside, Learning with Love in Vrindavan. Learning with love is learning with Bhagwan, the love, and learning with love, the beautiful, most powerful emotion of the universe. So learning with love in Vrindavan, to document and delight in the way Swami had so lovingly shaped this campus for the 50 years that it is seeing now. So we had the first episode on first Thursday of June and the second on the first Thursday of July. So while in the first, we went back to the roots of Swami's education mission, and we brought to light how for Swami, always spiritual education was true education, and to impart this, how he set up the Sri Sathya Sai Veda Pathashala way back in 1962, and how this institution laid the foundation for Bhagwan's educational philosophy. And in the second episode of this series, we went to the details of the setting up of the Vrindavan Ashram as a precursor to Bhagwan unfurling his first college for men, and how Bhagwan picked this lovely piece on earth to witness this unmatched flow of divine love between Bhagwan and his bhaktas, between Swami and his students in this sacred presence of Vrindavan, how he inaugurated this place in April 1964 and 5 years later set up his college, the Sri Sathya Sai Arts, Science and Commerce College for the boys. So this is what we discussed in the previous episode of this series. So today we are moving on to the third installment of this series. And as I was talking to many senior alumni of Bhagwan's institutions who had the fortune to be part of this college in its initial years, I found by Bhagwan's grace brother B. Sridhar, who was indeed present when the inauguration of the Vrindavan Ashram happened in 1964. Of course, he was a little one then, but the event was so memorable that he still fondly recalls some of those beautiful moments.
Even now I can just picturize the function.
Even though you were just 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, there. Really, I enjoyed. I was just jumping with joy like those steps, no? Because my father was there, my brother was there, my sister was there, my mother was there. Entire family had gone there. And
How many people were there?
Yeah, quite a lot. More than 200. Definitely more than 200 it was. Because the entire villages, no, surrounding village people, and the devotees from the city, everybody assembled there. And the function started, Swami was brought in a procession in a beautifully flower-decked chariot. And Swami sat squatting
Someone sat cross-legged.
Cross-legged, not on a chair or a simhasana.
On the chariot.
On the chariot. And happily blessing everybody. Mm. And in front of the chariot, it was a beautiful procession with Nadaswaram, then the dance. And there was one particular dance called, false-footed horse dance, we called it. In Tamil, we say Poikal Kudre. Okay. The dancers group was Sundaramurthy and family. They are very, very popular.
Folk dance.
It's a folk dance.
Horse dance.
It was a very big group. And Sundaramurthy used to play a big ducky. Mm-hmm. And that duffy inspired me. Actually, later on, I became a duffy player.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And so it was a three-day function. And Swami was brought in a procession, dance and all that. And that very same day evening, there was a musical program by the playback singer of Tamil Nadu, T.M. Soundarajan and Patti.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic music program, and it ended very late in the night.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to stay in the railway station itself that day.
Oh.
And next day, because those days, buses were not there.
Mm-hmm.
Only the train was there, only available by Singh. And there was one single bus to Whitefield from Bangalore.
Mm-hmm.
And that is everything. Mm-hmm. So that's a function which I can recollect.
So that was Brother B. Sridhar recalling the inauguration of the Vrindavan Ashram 1964. So once Vrindavan Ashram came into being, began the stream of devotees to this new abode of the Lord, and darshans became a regular affair. But in those days, seeing the Lord in that ambience of Vrindavan was such a unique experience. And Brother Sridhar explains why it was so different and so beautiful to be in Vrindavan.
And later on, the darshan started.
Mm.
And darshan used to be very nice. You know, actually Swami used to come from the inner gate.
Mm.
On the either side of the pathway, left side the ladies will be sitting in a line.
Mm-hmm.
And right side, the gents will be sitting. Mm. Every day, Swami will come with a basket in his own hands.
Mm.
And to each and every individual, let it be a small child or an elderly person, I think everybody will be giving vibhuti.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody used to have padanamaskar.
Uh-huh.
That was the fantastic
part. Every day.
Whoever
is there for darshan will have vibhuti and padanamaskar.
Yes, padanamaskar.
Wow.
That way, really, I enjoyed.
So, bhajans were not there.
Actually, it was not a formal bhajan. Once the gate opens and Swami is starting walking, and we can see, suddenly, this one lady, I remember by name, Lalita Bose, and their group of ladies, no? She used to bring harmonium, and one lady itself, one lodak player was there, and they'll start the bhajan like, the first bhajan will be Govinda Jai Jai Gopala Jai Jai.
Uh-huh. So she the concert of first version, Ganesh version, nothing.
Nothing. Just like that. The moment people see Swami coming, no, it will start. She'll start. She'll happily start. Govinda Jai Jai Gopal Jai Jai Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jai Jai.
Beautiful.
It was then again Vahe Guru. All it was her song only.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, it has become Swami's popular songs like.
Oh wow.
Every day, morning and evening, Swami used to come out happily. And Vrindavan, it was pakka Vrindavan.
Mm.
Everywhere there will be trees,
uh-huh.
there will be plants to cut into the shape of a peacock or a hen.
Oh, okay, wow.
All that
very
shape.
Picturesque,
very greenery, picturesque, beautiful. And once you enter Vrindavan, we feel that we were in the Vrindavan of Krishna days.
Feel like that.
Yes, we feel.
So that is how special darshan was in those formative years of the Vrindavan Ashram. No wonder anyone who saw Swami then longed to see him again and see him more in that ambience. Because Puttaparthi was different. While Puttaparthi in those days was charming with his sands, Vrindavan was surreal with its greenery. Prashanti Nilayam was silent. You know, there was just one shed where the current Purnachandra auditorium is, and it could accommodate 400 to 500 people. But it was absolutely silent. People used to talk in whispers. Even normal conversations used to be very, very quiet, very, very in low volume, very low decibel. That is how silent and serene Prashanti was. But Vrindavan, on the other hand, had its very different flavor, because Vrindavan was buzzing with trees and breeze and birds and monkeys. So people in Prashanti Nilayam used to hear all these stories about how darshan in Vrindavan is so beautiful, how Bhagwan in the midst of the trees and in the midst of all these people who had come from the cities. So after the inauguration of 1964, Swami also used to speak a lot about Vrindavan when he came to Prashantanilayam. And Swami used to, in fact, recount tales of the Vrindavan of his previous avatar, of the Krishna avatar. And then Swami used to talk about the leelas of Krishna, the Gopikas, and the devotion of Radha, and so on. So hearing all these stories from Bhagwan, as well as accounts of devotees, having that darshan of Bhagwan in the midst of beautiful trees, people in Prashantanilayam long to go to Vrindavan. You know, the curiosity increases. Okay, we have seen Swami in Parthi, but let's see, let's enjoy our Swami in Vrindavan also. So everyone who came back from Vrindavan, they were saying, oh my God, you should see Swami there. If you have not seen Swami in Vrindavan, you have missed something really precious. And one such devotee who went from Prashantanilayam to Vrindavan to have Bhagwan's darshan in those days was the mother of Mr. Ramakrishna Reddy. Mr. Ramakrishna Reddy taught in Bhagwan's school. She's at a high secondary school all his life. He's retired now, but in those days he was a little one. His mother, along with his grandmother, they went to Vrindavan way back in the 60s. And the moment Swami saw them in Vrindavan, Swami asked his mother and grandmother to stay in a small place. You know, in Vrindavan did not have any accommodation. There was only Swami's room, Swami's bungalow. And there was one other room where the nephew of Mr. Kaka Sahib Dikshit used to stay. Now, for those who are familiar with Shirdi Sai Sacharita, Kaka Sahib Dikshit was a very, very dear devotee of Bhagwan, of Shirdi Sai. And he, in fact, built the Dikshit Wada, a modest room where he lived on the first floor, but the ground floor of the rest of the building, which included a small dining hall, he gave it for the use of visiting pilgrims. And in fact, he was the one who was responsible for the establishment and progress of the Shirdi Sai Samsthan. He worked for the Shirdi Sai Baba Samsthan after Bhagwan's Mahasamadhi as the honorary secretary. He started the monthly Marathi magazine on Baba. So someone who has a yeoman contribution to the Shirdi Sai incarnation, and his nephew was M.S. Dikshit. And M.S. Dikshit had seen Shirdi Sai Baba, and later when he came to know of how Shirdi Sai has come again as Satya Sai, he came to Vrindavan to see Bhagwan. And once he was so convinced that it is the same Sai, you know, he stayed on to serve Bhagwan. So that is how there was one little room where he used to stay, and apart from this room, there was only one other small room. And when Mr. Ramakrishna Reddy and his mother and grandmother went there, Swami asked them to stay in that room. Mr. Ramakrishna Reddy, they actually hailed from coastal Andhra, but Swami had given his mother the privilege to stay in Prashantanilayam. So they had actually settled down in Prashantanilayam way back in the 60s, as I'm sharing this. You know, 60s, they were so fortunate to actually get a place in the ashram, and their room was very close to the mandir. His mother used to do rangoli and prepare garlands. And so Swami had given them that opportunity to stay in the ashram. And Swami had asked Ramakrishna Reddy to study in the Bukkapatnam school. So just 3-4 kilometers from Prashantanilayam, he joined right from his 7th grade. He started studying in that school as his mother served Bhagwan and looked after various activities in the ashram. So this is what is the background of Ramakrishna Reddy, the way Bhagwan had pulled this beautiful little family, mother, grandmother and the son. And now when they long to be Vrindavan, to see Bhagwan in Vrindavan, Swami welcomed them, and Swami told them, there is only this little room, so what you do is you put your luggage there, but you know, you can use my veranda, the Swami's residence, to spend time. So Ramakrishna Reddy, sir, he remembers how they had this beautiful chance to see Swami in Vrindavan, and as soon as they went, how Swami gave them this little room, but Swami said, you know, my house is your house, you know, you spend all your time here, there's no problem.
But you know, it's not a question of smaller room or big room. We used to feel the whole Vrindavan area is ours to stay and play. And in every sense, it used to be like that Vraj Vrindavan. And many people used to say, after seeing Swami in Vrindavan, and Swami is appearing more charming wherever he is, the effulgence and the love and same. But many people say he is more accessible in Vrindavan and more condescending to the devotees. Many people are saying, you know, oh my God, we missed, it is the 40s and 50s where Swami used to take people to Chitravati. I used to feel bad, people residing in old Mandir, they used to tell mother, oh God, he came late. And so wonderful it was in during old days and where Swami used to take us to Chitravati. And we used to feel bad that the closeness we missed. But after visiting Vrindavan 65, I felt we have not really missed. But at least a little bit of that
still remains.
Swami had showered on us.
So that is how Vrindavan was. People were reminded of the Chitravati days when they saw Swami in Vrindavan. And so those were the lovely Vrindavan darshans. And the way it used to happen is there was this pathway that started from Bhagwan's residence and it continued into the trees and gardens of Vrindavan, probably till the main gate of the ashram. So all the devotees used to sit along this pathway, as Brother Sridhar also mentioned. But later on, around 1967, devotees started assembling for bhajans, especially on Thursdays and Sundays, under a mango tree which was next to the gate. So a chair was placed for Bhagwan there and Swami used to sit there and listen to the bhajans. But when college started in 1969, there was a slight shift in the venue. Now it moved to the peepal tree. There was a huge peepal tree not far from the main gate. It had huge branches, plenty of shade, a sprawling tree, and Bhagwan used to sit on a circular platform that surrounded this huge trunk of the tree. And in front of this trunk was placed a beautiful marble idol of Lord Krishna, of Lord Venugopala, Krishna with a beautiful flute and in the famous Tribhangi pose, and in the dance pose of Lord Krishna. In fact, the picture that you see in the main Sannidhi of Bhagwan in Prashanti Nilayam is a picture that was taken during that time. You know, this place where devotees used to congregate under that peepal tree slowly started to be known as the Sairam Shed, because as the number of devotees increased, a circular mandap with a roof of metallic sheets came up under the tree, and that is how this place came to be called as the Sairam Shed or the Sairam Mandap. So Vrindavan in those days was this beautiful darshans under the tree. You had the lovely statue of Krishna and Bhagwan used to sit in front of that Krishna, and under the trees in the breeze you were wafting in the beautiful melodies of the bhajans. And interestingly, Ramakrishna Reddy sir, who had that darshan of Bhagwan in Vrindavan in 1965, he became one of the first students to join Bhagwan's college. In fact, how he joined the college is very interesting. In fact, he and his mother knew about the college even before anyone else in Parthi or anywhere else had an inkling of what was unfolding in this lovely playground that Swami had created. And as I said, Ramakrishna Reddy sir was studying at that point in time in Bukkapatnam, 3-4 kilometers away from Puttaparthi. In April 1969, he was to give his final exams for his 10th grade. But before the exams, he found himself in Vrindavan. And that is when an amazing thing unfolded.
And 1969 summer, I was giving school final exams. My mother and grandmother visited Vrindavan for some work. Swami very graciously called them for interview. And it seems Swami, during course of interview, inquired about me. Yem Ramakrishna yem chestunnadu? What is Ramakrishna doing? It seems they told Swami, Swami is completing his schooling. But you know, before they could complete the sentence, it seems Swami said, okay, he will study here. So they were happy. Swami said something. We had so much faith. When Swami says he will study here, means and Swami will take care of it. So they came and told me that Swami say inquired about you and he's very happy. And the Swami says you can study in Vrindavan. But I was taken aback. There is no school or college anywhere inside or around the Vrindavan. I thought maybe I had to study in city. After studying in Mukhapatnam and in a village atmosphere, I was wondering how I could study in Bangalore city. I expressed my inhibitions to my mother and she said, don't worry, God wills and he will take care and everything will be fine. And before starting of the exams, mother felt I should take Namaskar and start my exams. So I went to Vrindavan.
Alone?
Alone. It was like an adventure because transportation was near that I had to get down in Bangalore. Some people told me how I have to catch train or bus going towards Whitefield railway station, get down. Having faith in Swami, mother said, I have to go.
Oh, mother was very insistent.
Very much insistent that I have to take his blessings before, because quite often Swami used to inquire about me and it takes so much interest in my studies. I said, how can you give exams without his blessings? Mother said, grandmother also said, you should have. I mean, we had that feeling that somehow Swami will help
Swami
me.
Swami will help.
As soon as I show my face in Vrindavan, definitely will Swami come and I see the rest. I think he had to worry where to stay and all. I think when I entered the Vrindavan campus, very few devotees were there. And I think darshan finished, so maybe 50, 60 devotees were there getting up. And Swami was about to go home. And Swami is Swami. See, we had to show ourselves to Swami. Swami also, they have already noticed. Well, going into the bungalow, he turned back and saw me and said, hi, you have come. Then he asked me why I had gone there. Swami, I said, Swami, tomorrow exam starting, I want to take your Namaskar. He felt very happy. He said, just go. Then I thought my work is over. I was wondering, I thought I had to ask somebody how to go back to Puttaparthi. And after going inside, Swami sent Ramamambrungaru. Ramakrishna has come from Puttaparthi, one small boy. Sarasamasan, you bring him inside. So they took me inside. Then Swami made me sit in the dining hall and he served me for lunch.
Oh.
I said, bon chesipo.
Have food.
Then I was wondering, while taking food, I have to go back. Then when I was finishing lunch, one more gentleman from Vijayawada had gone there. In the veranda, Swami saw him, the Mr. Sivaramakrishna, his name, district president of Krishna, Vijayawada. Swami called him and said, you are going today, no, to Puttaparthi, take this boy in your car.
Oh.
So the problem was solved.
Wow.
So that is how Mr. Ramakrishna Reddy, at that time, as a little boy, got Bhagwan's blessings before his exams and returned. Still, but he had no clue, you know, where he would be studying. But the words of his mother and grandmother would always fill his mind. You know, there were doubts. He was wondering where he will study, you know, where in Bangalore. What did Swami mean when he say he will study here? But then, because his mother always said that when Swami says something, it will happen. You don't worry. So he got busy with his exams. He wrote them well, you know, powered by Swami's special blessings. And once the exams were over, his mother told him, go to Vrindavan again. So this is after 10-15 days. So that is when he came to Vrindavan, he saw at rapid pace a new construction coming up. And Swami was busy all the time supervising the work and showing it to people around. And he saw that, you know, in 10 days, so much has changed in the ashram. There was hectic activity now. Swami was very enthusiastically talking about the college to Dr. Bhaskar Rao from Eluru, West Godavari district. He was the president. And Swami was all the time busy ensuring that this building is up. And that is when Ramakrishna realized that, okay, so this must be the place where I'm going to study. This is what probably Swami went when he told my grandmother that Ramakrishna will study here. And even as he was thinking this, Swami calls him near and Swami himself reveals this to him.
He came to me and said, this is the place you are going to study. This is the
Swami told you that.
He said, this is the college I am constructing and you are going to study here.
Oh, wow.
Then I thought, my God, no, I had to go to Bangalore. I think I thought very happy. And Swami also said, after your results come, you come and join here.
Oh.
I will be here only, you come. That's how the first glimpse of...
Wow. You're the only student who actually saw the coming up of the college.
College from the pillars.
From the pillars.
Foundation.
From the foundation, yeah.
So that is how Ramakrishna Reddy sir got a glimpse of where he's going to study. And The building was very close to Bhagwan's residence, just 18-20 meters away, and this was May 1969. Ramakrishna Reddy returned to Prashantinilayam and he waited for his results, because Bhagwan had said, come here immediately after your results. Meanwhile, Swami also came to Puttaparthi for a day or two. In those days, during summer, even though Swami used to stay in Vrindavan, but he would make short visits to Parthi to attend to many tasks related to ashram administration. So during one such visit, when Swami saw Ramakrishna Reddy, sir, Swami told him, when are your results going to be out? And he said, Swami, maybe another 15 days. So Swami said, okay. So moment the results are out, you come to Vrindavan. You join there. Classes are very soon going to start, so you come immediately after your results are announced. On June 20th, the results were announced, and by that time, he heard that the inauguration has already happened, June 9, 1969, and then he thought, you know, but Swami had told me to go the moment the results are out. So he just went to Vrindavan immediately after he got the results. If you had followed the previous episode of this series, I shared about how on the inauguration day, Sri Virendra Patil, the Chief Minister of Karnataka, had come, and the Dr. V.K. Gokak was there, who was then the Vice Chancellor of the University of Bangalore, and how he mentioned that this college is a gem in the crown jewel of the Bangalore University, and so on. So all this had happened on June 9th, but Ramakrishna Reddy sir's results were announced on June 20th, and immediately after that, he went to Vrindavan. And once Swami saw him in Vrindavan, Swami pointed to the office of the college, and Swami said, the principal is there in the office, I have already told him, you meet him there and join the classes. Even as Swami was telling him this, Ramakrishna then was thinking, this is fine, but where do I put my luggage? Where do I stay? And as if reading his mind, Swami immediately asked, okay, where are you going to stay? And then Swami said, see, there are 3-4 empty rooms on the eastern side of the ashram. So there were these 3-4 very simple rooms, Bangalore tiled houses. And they were earlier used as storerooms. But by 1969, Swami had allowed a few people who were working in the Joy Ice Cream Factory to stay there. For those who are unaware, the owner of Joy Ice Cream Factory was one Mr. Java, who was an ardent devotee of Bhagwan, and Swami had sent a few people to work in his factory. So these people were from Puttaparthi, and they were staying in the ashram but for working for Mr. Java. So Swami told Ramakrishna that you stay along with these people. And so that is how Swami said, for the time being, you adjust with them and I will make alternate arrangement very soon. So he was very happy to go there, and the people, they were also from Puttaparthi, so there was no problem. He kept his luggage there, he met them, and then he went and met the principal. Swami had already told the principal. So the moment principal saw him, he said, okay, what is your name? And he said, okay, my name is Ramakrishna Reddy. And then he said, okay, what do you want? The principal asked. And now, Ramakrishna Reddy, so he was blank. He says, you know, I don't know, what do I want? He says, I had no answer for that, because I didn't want anything. I mean, it was Swami who told that you come here and join. So that's why I was there. So suddenly this question, what do you want? He just kept quiet. He says, I really didn't know what to answer. But seeing his puzzled face, the principal then asked, okay, which group do you want to study? Now, there were 3 groups at that point in time. Group 1, which had maths, physics, chemistry, and group 2, which has biology, physics, chemistry, and then there was group 3, which had this art stream, you know, of history, English, and economics, and those subjects. And Brother Reddy, he did not want to do mathematics, and he was not good with languages, so he felt biology is good for him, so he said, I want to do group 2, biology, and the principal said, okay, and he told someone in the office, sir, take down his name, and that's it, he joined the college. And along with him, there were a few more people who joined, there were a few more also from Puttaparthi, there were a few students from Hyderabad, and also there were a few students from the surrounding villages whom Bhagwan allowed to stay in the ashram. So for the first 1.5 months, Mr. Reddy stayed there in along with this Joy Ice Cream Factory workers, but as more boys joined, you know, in the first 1.5 months, Swami was taking many more students, so it all stabilized in 45 days. And after that, Swami had the first hostel, a very, very basic building. Basically, next to the gate, ashram gate, there was a car shed, which had space for 3 cars. On the first floor of this, Swami built this small shelter, a temporary shelter. It was a big hall, the first floor of this car shed, which was converted sort of into a hostel. So all the boys now started staying in this building, and more tiny buildings came up to accommodate the labs for the college, the library for the college, you know, where the current Kalyan Mandapam is. That is where the first college building came up, as I was telling you. But behind that and beside that, all these little, some more buildings came up to accommodate, you know, some classrooms and reading rooms for the boys. But as the boys increased, some of the buildings which were used for the college also came to be used as living rooms. In fact, Swami built another structure between his residence and the Kalyan Mandapam, the current Kalyan Mandapam. So there were, you know, a string of these little buildings there which function as a college and some of them as a hostel. So most of the buildings were next to Bhagwan's bungalow, but there was one main building which was near the gate, which was the first hostel. So this is how the Vrindavan campus, which later became the campus of Sisatasai Institute of Higher Learning, but the Vrindavan College and the hostel started. Of course, the main hostel, what we see now, that came up much later in 77. The college auditorium also came up in 77. The new building of the college, which we see today, the beautiful grand structure, imposing structure, that came up in 78. But the initial stage, this was how the formative years of the Vrindavan College, you had this very basic hostel and, you know, simple structures as college. And the first principal was Mr. R.G. Kulkarni, an ardent devotee. In fact, whoever came to Bhagwan in those days, you know, seeing Bhagwan in that ambience, they used to become devotees. In fact, Ramakrishna Reddy sir also at that point in time, you know, as a little one, you know, he was wondering how will he manage with all these boys, because some of them were coming from the cities and there was, on the other hand, many coming from the surrounding villages, and he was someone who grew up in Puttaparthi, studied in Bukkapatnam. He used to always wonder, you know, how will he manage. He was very apprehensive of, you know, how he will mingle with these students. But even as, you know, he was wondering about all this, Swami one day comes to him and Swami says, you know, kind of to top it all, Swami says, you have come from Puttaparthi, Ramakrishna, you are from Puttaparthi, everyone will be watching you. So you be very careful, you be very disciplined. Everyone will not only watch you, but they will also be imitating you. So be extra careful about your conduct. So this is what, you know, Swami had sort of cautioned Mr. Ramakrishna. And Mr. Ramakrishna was all the time wondering, you know, how to handle this responsibility, you know, of being an example of an exemplary student, how to communicate to all these newcomers who are new to Bhagwan and Bhagwan's ways, how to tell them about discipline, what Swami likes and what Swami would prefer. He felt he has to do that communication and that education. But Ramakrishna Reddy sir says that, you know, when he saw those students, he was actually in for a total surprise.
The students who used to come from surrounding villages and Bangalore, when they used to come at 9:30, the same time Swami used to come out for darshan. And as soon as they used to see Swami, they used to throw the bags, saying that Sai Baba Badidhara in Kannada. Mm-hmm. That means Sai Baba is coming. It's so much enthusiasm, they used to run towards Swami.
Wow.
And believe me, the way they used to sit in the classes, quiet, attend all the classes till 5 o'clock. It is only Swami Sankalpa, everything has happened. Nobody used to tell us how we have to behave, how to sit in the class. Classes started, and as soon as Swami used to give darshan, and in front of that present Kalyan Mandapam area, the college was there, the open place used to stand, Swami used to slowly pass, come toward that site. We used to have the Asatama Sadgamaya, the prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And after that we used to go inside. All classrooms were interconnected, and boys used to quietly go and sit in the classrooms. And the teachers also, after seeing Swami, and the way the devotees used to come from the surrounding villages and also from the Bangalore city, seeing there the devotion of the devotees there, and even the teachers also, automatically they became devotees.
So that is how the magnet that is Swami was doing wonders. Everyone who was coming into his ambit was having a life-altering experience. And Swami, the master teacher, knew how to capture each heart and turn them towards a higher life. And it was not only the hostel students, I mean the students who were staying in the ashram in Bhagwan's hostel, even the day scholars who were basically children from the Kadugudi village, they too were being beautifully transformed. Initially, Ramakrishna Reddy sir thought that, you know, these day scholars would make fun of him. They might tease the ones who were staying in the hostel because, you know, these boys are very disciplined. They were not going out and doing the things that the normal teenagers indulge in. He thought that, you know, they would become a laughing stock for them. But what actually happened was something else. In fact, this, recalling one instance, Ramakrishna Reddy sir says that one day, Swami came out for darshan early and he picked up some people for an interview. And so Mr. Ramakrishna, he was sitting under a tree. There was another half hour left for the college to start. And few minutes before the prayer started, one student came from inside the mandir and he was jumping in happiness, jumping in joy. And he was shouting, "Hey Ramakrishna, hey Ramakrishna, Swami called me for an interview today." And, you know, Brother Ramakrishna, he did not react to that excitement because, I mean, he had seen so many people getting interviews. In fact, in those days in Parthi, Swami was giving interviews for 3-4 hours in the morning and another 3-4 hours in the afternoon. So anybody getting an interview was nothing special. It was nothing out of the ordinary. It was so commonplace. That's not something really exciting. It could at least not excite Ramakrishna Reddy, sir. But this boy was in the 17th heaven. He said, "You know what? You know what Swami did? Swami created a watch for me." And Ramakrishna thought, "So what? I mean, because he has seen Swami create any number of watches and rings and chains so and whatnot." And he was thinking, you know, this boy is so silly. You know, he's so happy and he's so jubilant about such a simple thing. But at the same time, he felt that, you know, given that the boy is so much on cloud nine about this, he felt, you know, it would be impolite for him not to respond to his feelings in that same manner, in that same enthusiasm. So he felt that, you know, if he was not responding in that manner, probably he would not feel nice about it. So he remembered how Swami also had told him that he should always conduct appropriately. And so that's why now he pretended that it was something really fantastic. He said, "Oh, is it? So what did happen? Okay, show me the watch." And the boy went on, "You know, Ramakrishna, what Swami said when he gave me the watch." And now again, Ramakrishna Reddy sir thought, "I mean, this is too much. I mean, what will Swami say about a watch?" Because he has seen Swami giving so many watches. He said, "A watch is a watch. What is the big deal about, you know, what Swami said? What would Swami would have told? Swami would have told us to see the time." So he said, "You know, this boy is so silly. You know, he's unnecessarily too excited about such a simple gift from Swami." But, you know, of course, he controlled himself. He didn't say anything. He said, "Okay, so what did Swami say?" And the boy said, "Swami said, watch is W-A-T-C-H. And Ramakrishna Reddy sir thought, "Oh my God, don't teach me English now, for heaven's sake. Swami told you the spelling of the watch. And, you know, you are so thrilled." Of course, he was not saying this, but he was thinking, this boy is so naive. He just heard Swami spell the name, spell the words, you know, the alphabets of this word, and this boy is so thrilled with this, as if Swami has revealed a question paper, or, you know, as if Swami has told him that he's going to top the examinations or something like that, you know. But the boy went on, "You know, Ramakrishna, Swami said W-A-T-C-H, and then Swami said W means watch your words." A means watch your actions. T means watch your thoughts. C means watch your character. H means watch your heart. When the boy said this, now Ramakrishna Reddy sir, he was stunned to silence. Because this was the first time he was hearing a thing like this. On one hand, it was as if Swami was telling him, "Hey boy, Ramakrishna, watch your every thought and word. I am in your heart. Watch your character. Watch your actions." Because till now, he was only pretending to be nice, while he should have been more humble and more courteous. Somebody has come out of the interview room with so much joy. He should have been much more welcoming and warm. While this was one side of what his mind was telling him. On the other side, you know, he realized how Bhagwan was so beautifully transforming these students from the rural areas. It actually hit him that Swami was so fantastically teaching these students about values, about character. These students had no knowledge of Bhagwan and what he likes, and here was Bhagwan giving them what they want and telling them what he wants from them. And he was doing it in such a manner that this boy was super excited about it. He thought, wow, this is the power of Swami and this is the beauty of the transformation he brings in individuals. And Swami used to constantly talk in those days about character development. He was sharing how Swami used to stress a lot on discipline and devotion, how Swami used to give discourses. In fact, in the talks that he used to give to the students, Swami used to unequivocally say that, "I have not started this college for you to acquire degrees. Studies is not all that important. What is more important is character, good behavior, right conduct. I want you to be good citizens of this country, not just another educated, so-called educated man." And Swami also used to bring Mr. Gokak, the Vice Chancellor of Bangalore University, to talk to the students. In fact, Mr. Gokak, being a literator himself and very well known in many esteemed literary circles in Karnataka and in India, he used to bring eminent people to address the students. In fact, there was one person by name Raja Ratnam, who on every Thursday used to share the story about one saint. In fact, it started that way, that on every Thursday, the first hour was to tell the students about values. And very, very eminent speakers used to address the students for one whole hour. In fact, that is how the tradition of moral class in Swami's colleges started. On every Thursday, after a few bhajans, there was a talk by an eminent person on values central to Indian culture and spirituality. This started in 1969 itself. Swami's favorite devotees were Prahlada, Meera, Radha. Whenever Bhagwan spoke, Swami would speak about these devotees. But there are all these eminent people who used to guide the students and lecture them and inform them and inspire them about the traditions, the spiritual tradition of India. So this is how, this was done during this moral class hour. This is how moral class became a routine in Bhagwan's college. So this is, you know, these are the foundational years of Bhagwan's college. Earlier I mentioned how the prayer was Asatoma Sadgamaya, which Ramakrishna Reddy sir mentioned. In fact, how this also started is very interesting. So what happened is, a few days after the college started, one day Swami came to the college and one or two periods were already over. And when Bhagwan came, there were also a few guests with Bhagwan, Professor Kasturi and Mr. Raja Reddy and Professor Kokak. And so the teacher asked all the students to assemble in one room. So there was a big room, so all were seated. Bhagwan came and Swami told all the boys to be seated, not to rise, and then Bhagwan went to the platform. Every classroom had a platform for the teacher. Swami went on top of that, and Mr. Ramkrishna Reddy was there. You know, he thought maybe Swami is going to speak on a particular subject. But that day, suddenly Swami asked, "Do you know Asatoma Sadgamaya?" Swami asked all the students. And Swami said, "I want this to be your prayer from tomorrow. Tomorrow is a Thursday. From tomorrow, you will begin your classes with this prayer. How many of you know Asatoma Sadgamaya?" And everyone kept quiet, including Ramakrishna Reddy sir. Actually, Ramakrishna Reddy sir knew, and he thought that, you know, why should I unnecessarily go in the front, because Swami anyway knows that I know, and you know, there were all these elders, so he was a little diffident. But Swami pointed out to Ramakrishna and said, "Hey Ramakrishna, do you know? Don't you know Asatoma?" He said, "Yes Swami." And then Swami said, "Okay, chant now, chant loudly." So he started chanting Asatoma Sadgamaya, and as he started chanting, and he was a bit tensed because of chanting in front of so many students and as well as all these elders. But Swami joined him as he chanted. Swami poured confidence into him. So then he started chanting more loudly. And then after he chanted, Swami wanted each student to chant in the class for the next 1 hour. Swami was asking one student after another to chant this mantra, Asatoma Sadgamaya Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya Mrityorma Mrutangamaya. So this is what Swami said is going to be your prayer. And after all the students had chanted, then Swami said, "All of you have chanted very nicely. Now I have a present for all of you." And Swami had brought a box of pens, and he opened the box and he gave individually to each student a pen. And then before he left, he said, "From tomorrow, you chant this prayer and then start your classes." So that is how Asatoma Sadgamaya became the prayer of Sri Sathya Sai Arts, Science and Commerce College in Vrindavan. Again, this is something that started in Vrindavan in 1969. But the most fascinating story is how the boys started going for darshan early in the morning, much before the devotees had darshan of Bhagwan around 9:30 a.m. Right from 7 in the morning, the boys used to be in Bhagwan's residence. And how this practice started is in fact one of the most beautiful tales of the early years of Bhagwan's college. So as I mentioned, darshan used to happen at 9:30, but Ramakrishna Reddy sir, you know, who had seen Bhagwan in 1965 along with his mother and grandmother, he knew that Swami generally came down at 7 a.m. And, you know, as he was staying in the hostel and as they were waiting for Bhagwan for darshan at 9:30, he started thinking that, you know, Swami must be out by 7 a.m. You know, we are missing so much. Can we not go and see Swami as he comes out of his room? And can we not spend more time with Swami? This is the thought that came to him. And so one day he went and asked Mr. Ramabrahman, who was the caretaker of the Vrindavan ashram. He said, "Sir, can we come inside and have Bhagwan's darshan before he comes out and gives darshan to the devotees?" So Mr. Ramabrahman said, "Okay, you can come inside, but don't go in. Don't go into Swami's residence. You can stand outside and, you know, see Sir Swami if Swami comes out." So Ramakrishna Reddy sir thought, "Okay, why not? Let's go out and stand at least outside, you know." Because the Swami's bungalow had huge windows, and there was these stained glasses in the windows, and it was translucent, so you could actually observe Swami through the glass. If you paid attention, you know, if you concentrated, you can actually see through the glass this huge ball of orange moving. So Mr. Ramakrishna Reddy, the next day, he called another boy, you know, he wanted company before to do this adventure. So he called this boy and he said, "Come, let's go early in the morning and wait outside Swami's residence." And so this boy went with him, and just as he had thought, Swami indeed came down from upstairs at 7:30 a.m. and he could really see through the glass that Swami has come. And both of them were standing there. You were so happy that they were there, and Swami has indeed descended. And to their happiness, Swami opened the window, and Swami looked at Ramakrishna Reddy and the other boy. And not only that, Swami flashed a beautiful smile. And, you know, Ramakrishna Reddy and the boy, their hearts were full. And he thought, okay, that's it, you know, Swami has smiled. And so both of them returned to the hostel, you know, with joy bubbling in their cells. But after he came back to the hostel, Ramakrishna Reddy, he thought that, you know, maybe he should have stayed longer inside. Maybe if he had hung on there, Swami would have opened the door. Maybe Swami would have spent more time with them. And he thought, maybe if he was prepared enough to engage Swami, then there would have been a compelling reason for Swami to open the main door and come out and, you know, come near them. So he started thinking, what else can I do, you know? How to engage Swami. In those days, you know, giving letters to Swami was not so common. If anyone had anything to say, they could just raise themselves a little bit during darshan, and Swami used to listen to their prayers, and Swami used to give interviews in plenty to devotees. So there was really no need to write letters to Bhagwan. And then he thought, what else can I do? What else can I think of to engage Bhagwan? And then came this brilliant idea. You know, he went outside the ashram the next morning. There was an old lady who used to sell roses. 10-15 roses she would have in her little basket. And Ramakrishna Reddy thought, why not take roses for Swami? He thought it would be beautiful, you know, if Swami opens the door early in the morning and accepts these roses from our hands. You know, it would be really so special, so memorable. So he goes outside, he purchases 2 roses for 10 pais, you know. So the next day, he and his friend again go inside Bhagwan's compound and they stand there with the roses. And again, to their delight, to their joy, around 7:30, Swami comes down, and again Swami opens the door of the window and smiles. And then Ramakrishna Reddy, so on this day, he waits, he feels, no, Swami has smiled so beautifully and they're having their roses in their hands. Maybe Swami will come out. He had an inkling, he had a feeling that maybe Swami will definitely open the door. And, you know, just as he had thought and expected, a devotee opened the door. There was this noise of the door opening, and it did happen, and Swami came out of the door, and Swami was smiling so beautifully. And as Bhagwan came near them, the first question Swami asked, from where did you get the roses? And immediately Ramakrishna Reddy, he stretched his hand in the direction of the gate and he said, Swami, I've got it from a seller outside. And Swami asked, how much did you pay for it? And he said, Swami, I paid 10 pais, you know. This is 1969, so said Swami, 10 pais I paid to get these 2 roses. And Swami said, 10 pais and you got only 2 roses? You should be more smart. You should not just pay whatever someone asks. Tomorrow you ask for 3 roses for 10 pais. And, you know, Ramakrishna Reddy was so happy. He got direct instruction from Swami what has to be done. So the next day, he woke up another boy. And now this boy, because he was the son of a devotee, you know, he was also interested in darshan. But, you know, getting up early in the morning in Vrindavan was not easy. It used to be so cold. We are talking about 60s, very cold, very chill it used to be. And, you know, everybody always liked to sleep more, get up very late in Vrindavan. But, you know, but the chance of seeing Swami so early in the morning was so fantastic, you know. So these 3 boys now got ready. And in fact, because all of them were devotees' children, they didn't want to go for Bhagwan darshan without taking bath. And, you know, there was no hot water, so they had to really have cold water bath. So it was quite an ordeal, quite a sadhana to have that early morning darshan of Bhagwan. But, you know, but all of them, you know, they were thrilled with that idea to have to see Swami early in the morning. So they went out, and that day, you know, Ramakrishna Reddy, so he went out and he asked the lady for 3 roses, and lady said, no, I give you 2. He said, no, I want 3 roses for 10 pais. And the lady finally obliged. So this third day, they have come back to Bhagwan, early morning darshan, three boys with three roses in their hands, and again, as expected, Bhagwan came down, Swami saw them through the window, and the door opened, and Swami came straight to them, and the first question again, how much did you pay? And he said, Swami, 10 pais. I got three roses for 10 pais. And Swami said, very good, very, very nice, very nice. And then Swami said, after a while, why do you want to pay 10 pais and buy these roses? Swami said, see, there's a very beautiful rose garden here. So what had happened was, next to Swami's bungalow, there were 2-3 cottages, and one cottage was of Mrs. Ratanlal. And Swami himself had built that cottage. And Mrs. Ratanlal loved flowers, so she had actually created this rose garden. She had cultivated this, you know, for roses, for beauty, as well as for Bhagwan. So Swami pointed to that rose garden. Swami said, see, the roses in that garden are actually more beautiful than these roses. So why do you spend money? Don't spend money. Tomorrow, you bring roses from that garden and you give it to me. And Ramakrishna Reddy sort of thought, wow, Swami has given such a beautiful idea. We don't have to spend money. We can get roses, and Swami will be happy with it, because Swami himself has given this suggestion. But he was apprehensive of, you know, plucking roses from Mrs. Ratanlal's garden, because Mrs. Ratanlal knew Ramakrishna Reddy, sir, because he was a familiar face in Prashanthi Nilayam. So what he did, Ramakrishna Reddy, sir, asked the other two boys to go and pluck the roses the next day, because he thought, if Ratanlal Amma sees him, then, you know, she will recognize and maybe reprimand him. So the other boys went and they got the three roses. So on the fourth day dawned, and these three boys again were there in Bhagwan's compound with three beautiful roses. And fourth day again, the drama unfolds. Bhagwan opens the door, comes straight to them, beautiful smile on his lips. And Swami says, look at, and, you know, first question, Swami, is where did you get them? And they immediately pointed to that garden that Swami had indicated. And he said, Swami, we brought it from there. And he said, very beautiful. See, these roses, aren't they so beautiful? Again, Swami paused and Swami said, see, these roses are so beautiful. But because they are there in your hand, in no time they will fade away. If these roses, on the other hand, continue to be on the plant, they would be fresh. They would be fresh today. Probably they would be fresh tomorrow also. They would be fresh for longer. They would give joy to so many more people. And then Swami said, see, what you do tomorrow, you come here, I will come out, and then you just stand here and you look at the roses. So you look at the roses and then you look at me. And then you just wave your palm as if directing the beauty and the fragrance of those roses towards me. That's all. I will receive those roses. You would have offered the roses to me just with that beautiful wave of your hand, you know, without plucking it from the plant. I would have received the roses and you would have received the joy of giving me those roses. So this is how Bhagwan, in such a rosy way, stopped the boys from plucking the roses. Look at the way Bhagwan did it. You know, he was seemingly playing with them, but such fantastic lessons were being imparted. For Swami, the rose on the plant is more beautiful and preferable than plucking it. This is one of the lessons that Swami was teaching them. Swami was teaching how we can enjoy nature. There's a difference between liking and loving. You know, someone who likes a flower, they say plucks it. But someone who loves a flower actually waters the plant, which gives those beautiful flowers. So Swami was here watering the hearts of these boys with his love. He was nurturing their hearts even as he was teaching them how to revere nature, respect nature and protect nature. And most importantly, all this happened because Ramakrishna Reddy sir thought, what is the purpose of me being in Vrindavan and sleeping all morning when Swami is there? Is it not a waste of me, of my precious time and life, if I cannot be with Swami? If I'm not in the college, I should be with Swami, because I'm here only for Swami. So that longing for the Lord, that pining for His love, that intensive desire to spend every moment with the Lord, this is the DNA of Vrindavan. And this sprouted so beautifully in this heart of Ramakrishna Reddy sir, whom Swami had cultivated. You know, Swami had brought him to Prashanthalam. It was a time when this lovely heart shaped by Bhagwan became a beautiful instrument to inspire so many students on the path of divine love. When you follow the path of divine love, you unconsciously inspire 100 others to take to that path. And the Lord is there to hold your hands. So this actually is the essence of Vrindavan, the love for the Lord and the way the Lord nurtures every heart with His, with the water of His love. Vrindavan is nothing but a play of divine love, and this was the starting point. You know, this actually is the highlight of Vrindavan. Prashanthalam is an office. You never have the access to Swami's residence the way you have it in Vrindavan. In fact, in the later years, even when Bhagwan used to spend much less time in Vrindavan, even if he spent 3 months in Vrindavan, every student used to say that 3 months in Vrindavan is much more than 12 months in Prashanti, because that proximity, that grace, that intensity, that love, that accessibility and that kind of nurturing at close quarters, that kind of leelas, witnessing, living with Bhagwan, sitting with Bhagwan, that happen only in Vrindavan. And this is the start of that. This rose was the start of that beautiful rosy relationship that blossomed and enabled any number of hearts to blossom in divine love. So this is the start, I would say, of the delight of Vrindavan. And in the future episodes, we'll continue to share all these beautiful anecdotes of how Swami shaped all these roses that came to Him in Vrindavan. These were the foundational years, as I said. This is the time and the institution where the morning prayer got institutionalized, the moral classes got institutionalized, the morning darshans got institutionalized, and there's so many more like this. We'll continue this in the future episodes of this series, Learning with Love in Vrindavan. So dear listeners, as I mentioned before, on the first Thursday of every month, we are going to continue this series. So stay tuned to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside to bask in the love of this nectarous love that is Vrindavan. It's time for me to wind up this session. We'll continue Mr. Raman Rao's story in the future episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, and we'll come back to it in the first Thursday of September. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you so much for being with me through this lovely satsang. Sai Ram.
ఏ గుణంబు గణించి గీతించెను నాడు ప్రహ్లాదు పాలింప పరమ పురుషుడు ఏ గుణంబు గణించి ఏ తెంచెను నాడు పేదకు చేలుని బ్రోవ వేద చరితుడు ఏ గుణంబు గణించి ఏ తెంచెను నాడు కరినిగా చెడితరి కమల నయనుడు ఏ గుణంబు గణించి ఏ తెంచెను నాడు ధ్రువ కుమారుని సాక
You're listening to Radio Sai Global Harmony, dear listeners. The song that you're listening to is the latest production from our Radio Sai studios as part of the new series that we are starting, Sama, which will be soulful renditions specially recorded, and these will be in accordance with the celebrations that will be in Prashanti Nilayam. This is a Guru Purnima special audio which will be uploaded shortly in our website. Please watch the space of audio specials in the Radio Sai website. Very shortly we'll be making this available for downloads.